The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark. Delighted to be here after having been gone for a little while in New England. And wow, I was thinking about, I bet it's sunny in California. It's not so sunny this time of year in New England. So this is Happy Hour, where we work with practicing with loving kindness and some of the other Brahma Vihara practices. Come on in. Is there anybody here who this is their first time being here? Okay, great. So usually how we do this, I was just saying earlier that I alternate with Nikki Mirgafori. You know, more or less, depending on our retreat schedules and travel schedules. And in this hour, I'll give a little talk, short, kind of introduce the practice, and then there'll be a guided meditation, and then I'll open it up for some Q&A, and we can talk about things like how it went, and questions you may have, or comments you may have, or something like that. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about, it's not spoken about or taught about necessarily in the Buddhist teachings, but it's a part of our lives. And it's a part of, I think, loving kindness practice can help us work with or be with or make it be less problematic in our lives. And that is this idea of fairness, right? We all have this idea things should be fair, especially in our relationships, whether they're with, you know, coworkers or siblings or our life partners. We may have this idea that, you know, there should be some fairness in how things are. It seems pretty straightforward. Often what we don't notice, though, is that we think we all know what is fair. It's obvious what's fair. But it turns out, right, this idea of what is fair is a muddled mix of beliefs, traditions, and sometimes a number of different truths, and the truths can be opposing. It's like it's not always so clear. Even though we may think from our perspective it is clear, but if we examine it, kind of what's underneath, maybe it's not so clear. And maybe other people don't have this, other people we have relationships with may not have the same ideas. And so if we want to keep our relationships healthy, and if we want to have peace and freedom and ease in our lives, it can be helpful to examine and learn about our own ideas of what is fair. Our ideas, our beliefs, our views about fairness. And this is where loving kindness practice can really support us. With loving kindness practice, it can help kind of soften our hearts, open our hearts, so that we can learn. Right? Sometimes we don't think that we need to learn something, because I already know that. But I got this. I don't need to learn something. But, you know, there's so much like a Zen teaching. This isn't the Zen tradition, but we freely borrow from the Zen tradition when it's convenient for us. And I liked this, right? This famous book, Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. This idea that beginner's mind, to think like, oh yeah, maybe there is something to learn here. Maybe there is some, maybe I don't know everything that there is to know. I did that. If you have this idea you're an expert, then your mind is closed and not willing to think things. So with loving kindness practice, as well as mindfulness practice, but loving kindness practice can soften our hearts, soften our minds, and have it be a little bit more spaciousness. So it's easier to learn. It's easier to see more clearly what some of our views and beliefs are. And also, loving kindness practice in this particular context with this softening of the heart, can support the idea of wanting to be generous, either in giving others the benefit of the doubt, you know, reinterpreting events, or being generous in terms of, okay, maybe this in my fare-o-meter, it doesn't quite feel right, but I want to give. I want to be generous. I want to support others. It can be help support this practice of generosity, which in itself, this practice of generosity softens the heart. So loving kindness practice and generosity, really, when we cultivate one, we're also cultivating the other. Maybe not to the same degree, but they definitely influence one another. And also with loving kindness practice, we can recognize that, oh yeah, there is an ebb and flow of our own emotional needs. There's an ebb and flow of our own, our own inner life. And so we can recognize, oh, the same must be happening for other people too. And so there may be times when they are less able to be generous or less able to be thinking about what is fair, what is not fair, what's appropriate for other people. So learning to be fair requires that we soften our ideas of and our relationships, the ones that we want to be healthy and cultivate, that we soften our ideas of transaction and repayment. And that can be influenced, right, so many ways, the way that we grew up, our culture, our society, whether how we think about transactions and relationships. So it's not something that's going to be changed overnight, but maybe we can, with this loving kindness practice, we can just, as I said, kind of soften and maybe even see what our ideas are about that. And then also maybe we could think about in if we are, have this sense of unfairness in a particular relationship, we could think about, well, what, maybe they have different ideas of what counts for them. If they are keeping a ledger, well, I did these three things, you should do these three things. But maybe the three things, quote unquote, are different for different people. Maybe an act of service helping somebody doesn't really count for some people, whereas it counts greatly for other people. Or maybe saying kind words are kind of dismissive for some people, but are really meaningful for other people. And so to recognize that what may be meaningful for us may not be meaningful for others. And the same way, right? What we really want to feel seen and recognized and appreciated may not be the same for what other people think we want to see or they may not appreciate too. So with loving kindness practice, there can be a sense of just wanting to care and respect and honor others. And that helps us to pay attention to how does that work with other people, with ourselves? How can we care, respect, honor ourselves? How can we care, honor, respect others? And I'm using this word soften, so that it could be a way of for us to examine our long-held beliefs or long-held positions. This may be especially true with siblings or other partnerships that we have had for a long time. We may have this idea, I'm always the one that does X, Y, Z, or you're always doing X, Y, Z, or something like that. And maybe with a loving kindness practice too, with this softening of the heart and the opening of the heart, there can be a willingness to view things from a little bit different perspective instead of always the same way. So I'm kind of using this Buddhist practice of loving kindness, and I'm using it like, how can this benefit us in daily life? And use this in daily life. So with this practice, it's a meditation practice where we purposefully cultivate loving kindness. And you may or may not experience this softening of the heart that I'm talking about during meditation. It's more that we're creating the conditions in which that can happen. But also we're creating the conditions for other things to happen too. If you quiet your mind and settle down, there may be a lot of stuff that's happening in your inner life that finally has a chance to bubble up, and it's anything but loving kindness. That may happen. That's okay. That's part of the process. That's how this works. So I don't want you to think or that it's wrong or inappropriate and you have to get away, or push it away, and that you're a bad person, and here you are trying to do loving kindness meditation and you're not feeling loving kindness meditation. So we're going to do this practice, and probably one of three things will happen, or maybe all three. You'll start feeling some tenderness, some loving kindness. You'll start feeling maybe the opposite, or something completely different, or maybe you won't feel anything. All three options are perfectly legitimate and may happen. But regardless of what happens during our actual meditation, it's kind of surprising and amazing how this practice may show up in our daily life, even if we don't have this any particular experience during meditation. It's kind of just neurophysiology. If you incline your mind in a particular way, you're more likely to have that experience again. It's not magic or anything like this, right? We're just creating neural pathways. So even though at that moment you may not have a particular experience, you're more likely to later. And so it may be more readily available to you later in your daily life. So how we do the practice, the way that I'm going to teach it right now, there's a number of different ways we can approach it. There's three elements. One is we're going to direct loving kindness towards an individual, and we're going to start where it's easiest. Start where it's not a great effort to have loving kindness. So the traditional word is called towards a benefactor, somebody that has supported you, helped you, and with whom you have an uncomplicated relationship. Someone for it's easy to feel respect, care, love, kindness towards. So that's one, is to have an individual. The second is to visualize this person, or if you can't think of a benefactor that comes to mind, somebody supported you or helped you, you can also use a lovable being. Some people use kittens, puppies. I know somebody who used squirrels. Something that just kind of opens your heart where it's easy. And you can, so the second element is to visualize the lovable being, or otherwise get a felt sense of them. For some people, visualizing is easy, and other people it's a little bit more difficult. For me, it takes a lot, kind of more effort to visualize individuals. I tend to be more of having a felt sense, but I know plenty of people that visualizing is easier. So do whatever makes sense to you. And then the third element is we'll be saying phrases that reflect our intention for loving kindness. It's less magical thinking and more just helping us stay on cultivating this intention of sending well wishes to this individual. So we'll start with a benefactor, and then we'll open it to include ourselves. And I'll start with a little bit of mindfulness to help us get settled. So we can take an alert, upright posture. And let's start by taking three long, slow, deep breaths. You can use these breaths to connect with the body. And connect to what's happening right now. practice is greatly supported by cultivating a sense of relaxation or ease, as much as is available without making it a big project. So we can check in with our forehead or the back of our head, maybe some tension that can be readily softened or let go of. It might be helpful if with the exhale to see if there can be just a little bit of letting go. We can check behind the eyes or around the eyes, the jaw. We often hold tension in our face without really realizing it. What about the shoulders? Letting them drop down, the shoulder blades sliding down the back. Check in with the arms and the hands. Maybe there's a pleasant sensation if the hands are touching each other, or maybe they touch some soft fabric or something warm. Maybe not too. Check in with the back. What about the front of the torso, the chest and the belly? See if there can be some relaxation. With your hips and the area that's contacting the chair or the cushion. Bring your attention to your legs and your feet. Maybe there can be a little letting go or softening there. And if not, if you feel tension in part of your body that is still there, can you just have some ease with that? It's okay to have some tension. You don't have to make it all go away. And then we can rest our awareness on the sensations of breathing. So that is the movement of the abdomen or the movement of the chest, or perhaps the feeling of the air going in and out of the nose. You can choose one of those three, whichever is the easiest or the most compelling, and rest your attention there with those sensations. It is likely that you have had one or more thoughts today, so your mind is used to thinking and may be lost in thought. That's okay. Just very gently bring your attention back to the sensations of breathing. Again, if we find ourselves thinking, you can just begin again with resting your awareness on the sensations of breathing. And then, before I give instructions for our loving kindness practice, just know that you can always come back to this, to the mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, if ever you feel confused or lost or overwhelmed or uncomfortable, or it's always an option to come back to this. And to start loving kindness meditation, can bring to mind a benefactor or a lovable being, somebody for whom it's easy to feel warmth, care, respect, well-wishing for. Bring them to mind. And then you, like a whisper in the mind, you can repeat after me, quietly or silently, these phrases that support sending well wishes to others. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Can be helpful to check in and see if you still have a felt sense or a visualization of the benefactor or lovable being. And perhaps in the heart center there's some warmth, softness, perhaps not. And also, you're welcome to change the phrases if there's something to be more meaningful or easier for you to connect with. Of course, the phrases don't have to be in English. They can be in whichever language feels appropriate for you. So again, bring in the benefactor to mind. May you be safe. May you be healthy. May you be happy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. So again, checking in with the felt sense of this practice. Maybe you feel some warmth or softening or well-wishing. And if so, allowing that feeling to get as big as it would like to get, without forcing it, without thinking that it has to get bigger, just allowing it to get bigger if it would like. If you're feeling something that's definitely not loving kindness, perhaps you can make your awareness be really big and just allow that feeling to be there. And in that way, show some kindness and respect and honor towards what's happening in this moment, the reality of the moment. If you are having a sense of warmth, well-wishing towards your benefactor, see if you can just expand it a little bit to also include yourself in their well-wishing. All beings are worthy of well-wishing. That includes ourselves. That includes ourselves. Some people, when doing loving kindness practice for themselves, will visualize themselves. Some people find it easier to do this by visualizing themselves as a young person, maybe even a baby. Or you can have a felt sense of yourself in whatever way that makes sense to you. You can do whatever way is easiest for you to connect to yourself in this time, in a way in which it supports you sending loving kindness to yourself. And then we'll use the same phrases, but just changing the pronoun. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Again, we'll just check in with ourselves. Sometimes it can be hard to do loving kindness practice for ourselves. Without worrying why that may be, we can just acknowledge if that's what's happening. That's what's happening. Maybe it's delightful to be wishing yourself goodwill. So often we are critical of ourselves, sometimes harshly. See if you can put that aside for now and wish yourself goodwill and loving kindness and well-being and safety. Just like you were for the benefactor or lovable being. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then for the remaining minutes of this meditation, I'll remain silent. So you can do loving kindness meditation continuing for yourself. If it's easier, you can go back to the benefactor. Or perhaps you'd like to send loving kindness to yet somebody, a third person, or maybe go back to mindfulness meditation. Whatever feels like the right thing to do now. And then to end this meditation, bring your attention to the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So in that meditation, I started us off with a little bit of relaxation, kind of checking in with the body as a way to kind of help settle and fully arrive, right? Many of us, like, this may be the end of a busy day. And then some mindfulness of just the sensations of breathing as a way to kind of start to collect the mind a little bit as best we can, right? And then some loving kindness towards the benefactor and then towards ourselves. So I would like a little bit of feedback, and maybe we can use the microphone. A question I have, I'm just asking, is I often am wondering, like, how much silence I should be leaving. What do you think about, like, is it helpful to have guidance, a lot of guidance? Or does it start to get annoying after a while, right? Because my pace may not be matching your pace, or even what, you know, my words that I'm using may not be matching yours. So would it be helpful to have lots of silence, a little bit of silence? And it's okay to have, like, a whole different opinions about this. I doubt we'll come to consensus. But it would just be helpful for me to hear. What's your sense? Yes. Yeah, we'll pass the microphone to you. Can you move this just a little bit closer? There we go.
Seems to me like it's the right amount.
Okay. Okay, great.
Yeah.
I started playing with other words, and I'd never done that before. And it was interesting, and because of that, more silence at the end would have been useful for me.
My order would be, may we all be safe. May we all be healthy. May we all be with ease, live with ease, and the less happy. Because it's a kind of consequence of all of this together and then happy.
Oh.
And then I would do three of these with the same pace you did in the beginning. And then you do more space between one and the other. Like if you give four of these here and then tiny space, four, tiny space, four, big space. The four of them again, and then more space until we kind of go alone. I don't know.
No, that makes sense. A lot of teachers do this.
Yeah.
Where they leave a lot of space and then they just drop in kind of the phrases just to catch, because it's easy to have then drifted off into somewhere else and to bring people back to the practice.
But then also between, when you start doing the big space, you just do one more space. And the two, more space. The four of them with more space in between. So you kind of get in that space alone, and waiting for you to say again. And then you kind of grab it again, you know, on that slow ride. But we still with your guidance.
I see.
Your voice is fantastic.
Thank you.
It's like the angel. The angel's, angel's here with me. Inside, who is this voice, mine or the angel?
Does anybody have some other comments that may be very different? Yes, Kristen.
I actually like a little bit of space, and even sometimes I get a little distracted, so I kind of come out or I open my eyes, so then if there's like a little bit of space, sometimes I can get, you know, back into my meditation a little bit more easier, but... Also, yeah, it'd be nice to do things different ways, but one time it'd be nice to play with, like, a little space so we can kind of deepen our practice, you know, deepen ourselves, and then you would come back in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In some settings, right, they just will maybe say the four phrases like twice, and then, you know, silence, a lot of silence, and you're off on your own. And often that's with people who have more experience. But we're a mixed group, I imagine. I didn't interview all of you, but that's an assumption that I'm making, that we're a mix. So then I'd like to open it up more broadly. Does anybody like have any questions or comments about how was it to transition from benefactor to the self? Did some of you switch back to mindfulness practice, or did you stay with the loving kindness practice? Or do you have questions about the approach, or even why we're doing this? Or it's kind of, we'll just open it up.
I found the part for the benefactor to be very easy. And then initially, for myself, it was okay. But then my mind started to play tricks on me, where I was saying, may I be happy. And then there was this longing attached to that, and like a craving. And I said, well, I am happy, but I want to be happier, you know. And so it was just kind of like this little trick. So how? So then I thought to myself, maybe it shouldn't be, may I be happy. Maybe it is, I am happy. So, you know, just I started to do this little mental thing and was wondering, you know, how to deal with the longing part of happiness.
Yeah. First of all, I want to say kudos to you that you noticed that that's what's happening. Often, right, we're not so aware of exactly what's happening there. This is a natural thing, right? Of course, we all want to be happy. You wouldn't be here at a meditation center on a Wednesday evening if you didn't think that, right, it would kind of support your happiness. So there's a few things you can do. One is to say, oh, look, there's this brings up longing. And just acknowledge that that's what's happening and just allow the longing to be there. And maybe notice if the longing is fluctuating as you're going through the phrases and as you're going through the meditation period. Does it start really strong? Or actually, you said it wasn't there at all and then it got strong, but did it stay the same throughout all of them or something? So you can get curious about it and investigate it. And in that way, it stops being like a big problem that's out there. And instead, it can just be, okay, this is the truth of the moment. And kind of honor and respect the truth of the moment. It's part of our common humanity that we all long for this, right? It's not it doesn't have to be a problem or an issue, I guess. One is to maybe like turn towards the longing, and in that way you may be letting go or softening or put way in the background the loving kindness, and instead be doing more mindfulness and awareness of, okay, what does it feel like to have this longing? If it's really compelling and you feel like loving kindness, longing, and you don't want to get into this struggle where it gets complicated, so you can put down the loving kindness and turn towards that. Or you can do the opposite. You can stay with the loving kindness and say, oh, sometimes it can be helpful just to use this little mental note, longing. So just like notice longing and then come back to the loving kindness. So often which you do will depend on which is most compelling. Yeah, maybe. And then another thing that I can say is that it can be helpful if there's a number of things happening, to also bring your attention to your body to kind of help me stay grounded here and now. Because sometimes if we get into longing, then it can just bring up all kinds of stories, and I've always felt like this, I will always feel like this. I don't know what the stories are, but it's very easy to do that. It's easy to get into. That's what the mind does. So it can be helpful to think about the body, feet on the ground, pressure or something like that. Was that helpful? Yes, you can put the microphone this way.
So I found the part for the benefactor very easy to bring into my attention, visualize, and even get the felt sense. It started to fade away a little bit to as we did, I don't know how many repetitions of it, so I found it harder to maintain that intensity. But it was still easier, and I thought I was smiling. I don't know if I was physically smiling, but in my mind I was. But I didn't get that same response when I was doing it for myself. It wasn't as pleasing, so to say. That was just an observation I had. And then I have a question. And you said, do you feel your heart softening or a warm sensation? We can't feel the muscles in our heart, so I don't know how to interpret that question, if it's literal or if it has a different meaning.
Yeah, so I'm purposefully using vague language so that all of us could find what makes sense for us. So for some of us may like, whatever, that's weird, and I'm not. So, or you can, maybe it's a heart center, like, often when we feel, some people, not everybody, we associate, like we have this expression, like warm-heartedness or, you know, something like that, so that there is a warm feeling. But is it like here in the heart center, or is it like near where the left ventricle is? You know, I don't know. Right? We all, whatever in a way that makes sense for you, and including saying it doesn't make any sense and I'm not, I don't know what it is. Yeah. We each kind of have our own way. Okay. Was that helpful? You're giving me a look like, really?
I don't know yet how I, what I think I get the sense of what you're saying, but I don't know how it translates to my experience just yet.
That's great. And it may, often we don't know that, like, how do we feel as emotions or sensations in our body? Sometimes it's obvious that when we're anger, that our face gets hot and we feel like energy rushing through or something like this, but maybe it's not for, you know, everybody. Maybe sometimes it's subtle or it's different or often, but I'll just say often for people, if they're going to report where they feel emotions, it's often like a belly or a chest or a face. So you could just kind of check in with these areas and see if there's a physical correlate to the emotion or the idea that's happening.
Yeah, for me, softening the heart is something in the chest area physically, and it's kind of a relaxation. And the opposite of when I feel anxious and there's kind of a tightness and a constraint. I guess I could. I'm still kind of grappling with. Mindfulness awareness and loving kindness meditation. I think I've gotten increasingly comfortable doing mindfulness meditation, and being good at noticing my experience as it's happening, and catching my mind as it kind of goes off somewhere and noticing that thought and coming back in a non-judgment. I kind of getting good at that.
Great.
But when I do loving kindness meditation, I'm much more susceptible to getting lost in a story because I'm picturing a person and somehow, or being, and so there's usually stories attached to that person, so I'm more easily drawn in. And
it's great that you notice this, though.
Yeah. So then I've played around with, is it better at the end of my meditation session to do loving kindness? because I'm, you know, my tendency to for my mind to wander has settled down the most. But that's not clear that that works better. Some ways it's, I feel maybe it's better at the beginning of my meditation where it's almost kind of a mantra. It's like, you know, it's to be okay with focusing on kind of the rote aspect of repeating whatever the loving kindness saying is, and then let go of that and go into mindfulness. I'm just sharing with you, like I'm playing around with this and I don't know where it settles in. One of the woman who substituted for Nikki had us go through an exercise where she put forth that it's not necessarily any of these specific phrases of may I be happy, may I be peaceful, may I be at ease, that we might each we kind of meditated on what words feel right for us, and that helped me. I came up with that, and so I've kind of played with that a bit as a kind of a mantra, and I try and think of a softening of my heart while I say that. Anyway, not well formed thoughts. Sharing through my experience, I in terms of feedback, I did feel that it was too frequent of repetition of it, but it was also good that it was repeated periodically because my mind was wandering and it brought me back. So it's always going to be different depending on how your meditation is going, I think.
So I appreciate very much that you're investigating and you're using this word playing around. I like that. That's like a great expression. Like it's not like there's one exact way that's going to be perfect, but to explore and like, okay, well, maybe loving kindness, you know, to use it this way with mindfulness or, you know, first or last or different phrases. I think that's that spirit. It's the way to just find a way that feels, I don't know, supportive, and recognizing that what's supportive this week, this month, may not necessarily be next month or next year. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. So, okay, well, it's a few minutes after 7, so I'm going to let everybody go. You're welcome to come up and ask me a question or make a comment. But may you all feel safe and happy and healthy and have some ease. Thank you.